Welcome to KNEO Radio Podcast. KNEO Radio AM and FM Radio Podcast covering the heart of Texas and the Northwest Hill Country, including McCullough, Mason, Menard, Concho, San Saba, and portions of Brown and Llano counties. KNEO Radio is your podcast to hear interviews with special guests, local news, events, agriculture, and community affairs. For more KNEO Podcast, visit KNEOradio.com. KNEO Radio Podcast, making a difference.
Good morning for Congressman August Pfluger.
Good morning.
Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
We are doing very well. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your calling in and talking with us about what's going on here in the great state of Texas, and especially in Congressional District 11, where we all happen to live. And you've been, as always, lots of activities going on. Things are busy with you. What's going on from your standpoint?
Well, you know, in the past couple of weeks, we've been able to really take some time in the district, do a number of town halls, visited all 29 counties in the first part of the year, and you know, was actually in Brady last week. And I'll tell you what we are repeatedly hearing in every single county, every single town hall from almost every constituent is the concern about our southern border. And, you know, it really is shocking. It's a tragedy. But the president and the vice president have completely abdicated their responsibility to keep our country safe and secure at the southern border.
This is, you know, there are lots of ramifications of that, different ways that that's showing up. What are you seeing, and what are people telling you?
I would say the number one impact that we are seeing in our district right now is the amount of drugs that are coming through our cities, our towns, our highways. I had a virtual roundtable with all of the 29 counties and the law enforcement offices. That includes the sheriff's offices, police departments, and example after example of local communities having to deal with fentanyl, methamphetamines, and other drugs. Let me give you one example. In Eastland, Texas, over the weekend, they had two high-speed chases. One of them included a dually truck with 20 illegal immigrants in it, 100 miles an hour on Interstate 20. The second one included seven illegal immigrants in a very small sedan. Five of them were apprehended, two are still on the loose, and they recovered over $500,000 of illegal drugs, including fentanyl and methamphetamines. Now, I mean, this is happening every single day in our district. So let me remind everyone that in our 29 counties, we don't actually border the southern border. We're about 100 miles at the closest point. Eastland County is several hundred miles away, so it's impacting everyone. And not only that, but now DPS troopers are having to be repurposed down to the southern border, and that's obviously an impact to our local sheriff's departments and police departments, because when they need backup, those folks are gone. They're not only are they away from their families at the southern border, but they're not there to help in the mission that they are assigned, which is to help our local, you know, county and city police departments and sheriff's departments.
You know, one of the other items that you've mentioned was the rhetoric that is very discouraging for police officers and law enforcement.
Oh, it's absolutely discouraging, and they want nothing more. The liberal, radical, progressive side of the party, Democrat Party, wants to defund police, and they've made that attempt throughout the country. Let me just tell you that in the president's $6 trillion budget proposal, there's not a single mention of border security. And in fact, you've got no increase for our Customs and Border Protection, the folks that are keeping our borders safe. I mean, meanwhile, we have a major crisis. Numbers came out yesterday, 180,000 illegal immigrants were apprehended in the month of May, the third month in a row where we've seen record numbers. And this is just, it's a complete crisis. The vice president said she was, she had visited the border. That's a complete lie. She has not visited the southern border. She's flown to Central and South America so she can go visit with presidents there who are telling her that it's our policies, Biden's policies, that are causing this crisis. And she won't hear it.
Well, what do you think is going to happen next? What is the near-term outlook for you from your standpoint of what's going on? What can we? Is it going to be more of the same exactly?
Well, it's going to be more of the same unless they reverse course on these policies. I mean, we've had good policies in place that were able to stem the tide and prevent a surge like we're seeing right now. Those policies, and I mentioned those at the town hall in Brady, but these include things like Remain in Mexico. They include the agreements that we had with the Central American countries. They call them Northern Triangle countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Those policies were in place to prevent people from thinking that they were going to be able to come to the United States and seek asylum on our soil. They actually said, no, we're going to deport you immediately. You have to seek asylum and do that in a correct manner in another country like Mexico. I spent the day, 2 days ago, talking with ICE agents, and their hands are tied. They are absolutely tied. The policies that this president has put in place are preventing folks like ICE agents from doing their job. And unless it is a heinous, egregious felony charge, they cannot deport anybody.
It almost seems as almost things, as I said, are just more of the same as what we can expect. Now, obviously, you and people like you in Congress are trying to find ways to get around it. What kinds of things are you looking at?
Well, we are. And right now, I mean, we're not only coming up with legislation that would hold the administration accountable, that would do the right thing for our law enforcement agencies that are putting their lives on the line. We're also just simply calling for the president, the vice president, to go to the southern border, and they refuse to do so because when they get down there, here's what they're going to hear from Border Patrol agents. Help. Help us. That's what they're going to hear. And we know now their actions speak louder than any words that they can say, that they're not taking the right steps. So we're trying to hold them accountable by introducing legislation. And, you know, it's unfortunate because the border communities are really suffering. And in a lot of these communities we've seen have previously voted Democrat, but I think in the case of McAllen recently, their mayor was now the first mayor in several decades to be elected as a Republican. And I think what we're going to continue to see is a trend where people are looking at the policies as failed policies, as those that are not keeping our country secure, not making our country more prosperous. They want to increase taxes and increase spending on frivolous things, but they don't want to put it towards our military and towards folks like Customs and Border Protection agents. So, you know, it's just common sense approach. They've completely diverted the attention to things that don't really matter when it comes to keeping our country more secure. And I think those are the kind of policies that we as conservatives are going to continue to have to hammer and hold other lawmakers, the moderate Democrats, accountable and say, look, these are the things that are going to make your communities more safe and more prosperous. Are you willing to join us? And I think we're seeing slowly but surely some folks who are willing to join that effort.
Well, when you were in Brady, one of the things you mentioned, you started the conversation with your town hall meeting here, that you didn't have particularly good news for the folks, but you did have hope. And that's how you finished up as well, with the idea that there is hope.
Well, I do have hope. And, you know, the policies that we're seeing, whether it's at the southern border or the threat of increasing taxes or the enormous amount of money that's being spent, you know, under the so-called guise of COVID relief or anything else, is shocking. It's alarming. We're having to play defense right now. But I do have hope for the country. And I explained in the town hall meeting that I serve with some amazing colleagues that come from different places and different experiences. And just to give you a couple of examples, folks that came from Cuba, their families escaped authoritarian communist rule in Cuba. They don't want to go back to that. South Florida is now full of people who understand that the Democrat Party is really aiming towards socialism here, and they don't want to go back to that. A couple of Korean American women in Southern California who flipped Democrat seats into Republican seats because they as immigrants, legal immigrants in Southern California, don't want socialism. People like Burgess Owens, who won a Super Bowl back in the 1970s, as an African-American superstar and a leader and a conservative thinker, you know, you put all of us in the same room. And one of the reasons I have hope is because I look at their experiences, where they came from, mine serving in the military and serving with people from every state in this country. And I'm here to tell you, this is the greatest country in the world, and I have hope because it's worth fighting for. And I attend a Bible study on Wednesdays at 8 a.m. in the Capitol, and we talked about Romans 5, 1 through 5. And in that, in Romans 3, Romans 5, verse 3, it talks about how suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And I think as a country, we are suffering. But these folks that I'm serving with, who come from different experiences, who are pushing back against this false narrative that this is not the best country in the world, because it is, that's why we should all have hope, because we're going to continue to go through some tough times. I've explained it, you know, whether it's border security or anything else, but I do have hope that we're going to emerge stronger and better than we were before. And for whatever reason we're going through these times, we will emerge stronger.
It's a tough time in the meantime.
It is, and I appreciate you giving me a couple of minutes to explain that. I do that at a town hall. It usually takes, we talk for an hour, but I would encourage folks to go to our website, pfluger.house.gov. I have a weekly newsletter that keeps people informed about the legislative priorities, about what I'm voting on, where I stand on issues. It also gives people a chance to reach out and express their opinions to me. We take them very seriously. I love hearing from the constituents throughout this great district, and it's an honor to represent the best district in this country.
Well, we appreciate your efforts and wish you the very best at it. Absolutely. We all have a vested interest in that.
Well, we all do, and thank you so much for having me on the show, and would encourage people to stay hopeful. I wake up every day thinking about how I can fight for this district and maintain a hopeful attitude through faith.
Okay. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio podcasts, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.